This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
We'll get back to the Yankee calls in just a second, and I'm waiting to see if Booney said anything to the Talking Yanks guys about Dominguez in center field, but apparently nothing yet. It was just about heel that he's going to expected to begin rehab Sunday. He'll be stretched out to be a starter when he comes back, and obviously Jazz going to second. That's the big news there. I was talking to Andy Martino yesterday, both on and off the air at SNY, and we did the show Baseball Night in New York, and I got to be honest with you, I'm more excited now about the Mets and the trade deadline than I was prior to that conversation with Andy, where he seems to think they're going to be aggressive. We've talked about it. We haven't seen it from Stearns. I mean, forget about just yet. I'm talking about in general, whether it be with the Brewers or whether it be with the Mets, the ultra aggression from him. But I think the sentiment for the Mets is the right one, and it's going to be that, hey, they're in their quote-unquote championship window. Like, obviously, they want to build sustained success, but this is a go-for-it. A go-for-it time with this team, with this organization, led by an owner who is go-for-it by nature. So I now expect, I know you were saying you wanted the Mets to make big moves, and I was like, all right, well, they just need some little tweaks here or there. I think anything's on the table for this team, and now I'd be disappointed if they don't come away with, at the very least, a top bullpen arm. It's got to be more than that, and I think it will be. I think anything's possible for the Mets, but I think they're going to be ultra-aggressive at the trade deadline.
They should be. This is green light territory. Now, they're going to have to reconcile from within. Some of these are easier decisions than others, whether it's, obviously Beatty, Alvarez, Acuna, Mauricio, Gilbert, others that are, not Sproat's going nowhere, but, some of the other players, Vientos, I don't know if I said him, but they're going to have to really identify who they want around and who they don't, how much money they're willing to absorb. Why the hell wouldn't they go for it? I mean, think about this, Sal. In 2 years, right? And I say two, based on the way the contract is structured. In 2 years, there's no guarantee Pete's still here. There's just not. And then you start to look at the core. Obviously, Soto's still deeply entrenched in his prime. He's probably just entering his prime. But Lindor, who's still going to be, a star at that point. Now you start to get to the point for a middle infielder, not that you can't put him over to second base and he couldn't transition, but as a star shortstop, time's ticking a little bit on Lindor. He's not a kid. He's been playing this game for a long time. So to me,
the time is now. Nimmo.
It's now. Diaz, Nimmo, let's go. Yeah. So to me, the only question, not the absorption of money, it's the valuing of prospects. And I'm very curious to see how Stearns, not to make it a Met Yankee thing, but the way the Yankees hold on to their prospects like manhole covers, they throw them around like manhole, it's ridiculous. I'm curious if the Mets deviate from that and really just take a massive swing, try to win it this year.
And I think that they will. Now, I don't know this. I just think that they will. Obviously, to get something, you've got to give. And the Mets have an advantage with Cohen where he could just say, yeah, let's take on that contract and give up less. They're going to be smart about it. I don't know about trying to thread the needle, but they're going to be smart and say, well, we'd rather not give up prospects. We'd rather take on your bad salary. That's easy. Oh, just money? Sure, because then we get to hoard the prospects and there's no harm, no foul. Even if guys don't pan out, you'd still rather have them than not. However, they also have a bunch of guys that play the same position that they're just not going to be here. Whether it is Beatty, Vientos, Acuna, like they've got a mix. Jet Williams, some say they wouldn't touch Jet Williams, like make him untouchable. To me, nobody's untouchable. It just depends on the return. This is where you have to trust Stearns and the Mets organization to properly evaluate what they have, unlike the prior regimes that traded Pete Crow Armstrong for Javi Baez.
Yep.
I don't know if I would touch the pitching or mess with the pitching, but I trust them to identify the guys that they believe in to keep those guys, because that's the one thing that the Mets need. We've talked about this a lot of times, like the young, up-and-coming arms that are going to be under control that could be high-end guys. But if you have to give up one or two of them, so be it.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
There's no question.
All hands on deck here. And now, it's got to be the right moves. Obviously, you're not trading, you know, Vientos for Vogelback, but if it's the right fit, if the Diamondbacks want Sproat and Vientos for a Eugenio Suarez, you tell me you don't do that?
I actually wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I don't care.
I'm not giving up Sproat.
I'm just throwing out two names.
Yeah, well, Sproat's a name that I can't. If you give me another name, I'd say yeah, do it.
Pick one of the top pitchers. They got a bunch of guys. That, like, I'm not giving up Jonah Tong.
No. He's in a futures game. No way. He's untouchable. I wouldn't touch Sproat either.
Okay,
everybody else you could have.
Okay, but pick a young guy. Obviously, you're going to have to give something to get something.
For sure.
So, whatever. I'm just going through the guys. I'm not giving you specific guys. I'm just saying I would not hold on to all of them, identify the right guys, and part with them for the right move. I also want a top bullpen. I'm not just a Phil Maton like they got last year. I want a no doubt about it top bullpen guy. I think it's realistic that the Mets go high-end shopping here and come away with some key big pieces that could elevate them to another level.
Well, how about this? And I do agree on that. How about if we have, you know, round two? Where the Yankees and the Mets are vying for the same players.
Yeah,
They were with Soto.
We had it with Soto. We had them go head-to-head, obviously, in the regular Subway Series games. And now you could have a battle in season here at the trade deadline. And I don't think it's just going to be those two, but obviously it's Mets-Yanks. Could be looking for a third baseman. Mets-Yanks be looking for relievers or starters. I wonder who's going to come out on top, who's going to be more aggressive, who's going to be willing to take on more money. I would tend to think that the Mets would be willing to take on more money.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cashman's always been aggressive, so I'd give the Yankees the favor in that regard. We'll see how it shakes out. But obviously, BT, other teams are going to be wanting relievers as well.
Let me ask you this. Now, this is I know you don't love him for the Mets, and I don't love him for the Yankees either, but I'm just curious how you would handle this. So, did you see the story about Brian Reynolds? We were talking about Brian Reynolds a couple weeks ago before the Mets and the Pirates
played.
Right,
and then he looked good against the Mets.
Then he looked good against the Mets, ironically. We were just talking about him. And you weren't enthralled with him before, and neither am I. Like, he's good. He's a good player. He's not a star. But did you see the list of teams he will not be dealt to?
No.
Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, I want to say, like, a Toronto Blue Jays, thank you, Hop. Maybe the Giants. Like, all big market teams who are in the middle of pennant races here. There's six of them. Now,
wow, so he likes to be a loser in Pittsburgh.
Get traded to Baltimore, get traded to, you know, Cleveland. They've lost 9 or 10 straight, whatever. But the point is, if you think that he's enough of a needle mover, would you try to convince him, because talent's subjective, maybe the Yanks or the Mets do like him more than you or I like him, would you try to convince him to come when he initially wants no part of this stage and the smoke?
Yeah, I would not. No, I don't think he's good enough anyway, although I'd be lying to you if I said after the Pittsburgh series, I wasn't like, wow, he's piqued my interest at least. He looks just like a ball player.
He is a ball player.
That's what I'm saying. He's a gamer.
He's a ball player.
He's not going to be a superstar, but he's a gamer. But now you tell me that he said no specifically, not just to the Mets or Yankees, which is not a New York thing.
Yeah. Dodgers, Toronto, the Giants. Yeah. Well, nuts, huh?
I'd be the opposite. Give me to all the best teams. I don't want to stay here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I know.
So, no, I would want no part of them. The best fit to me for the Mets, specific to the Mets, Suarez is like a nice idea, but I'd rather Buxton in center field and give me the best available relief pitcher. You get me those two and maybe a depth arm in the rotation, I'm good to go with the Mets.
Now listen, both of these teams tinker properly.
It's back on.
Well, I still want to sell certain guys, yeah.
It's back on.
I never said it was off.
No more sell. No, it's back on.
I never said it was
off.
Don't
give up hope. Come on.
Now.
Regenerate.
What did I say yesterday? They're not going to win the World Series.
Yeah.
I still don't think they are. What did I say yesterday?
Well, Jazz,
I want to sell.
Yeah.
I still want to sell.
Right. But Jazz,
but I also want to acquire.
Jazz.
So we thread the needle.
The BT and Sal Show on the Fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac is the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Josh is calling from Sheepshead Bay to talk about his Yankees. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to, what's it called? I'm a little nervous, but I'm also not a platitude guy. You guys are my favorite. It's like talking to my boys. It's like listening to my boys on the radio. And it's really an honor to, you know,
thank you,
Josh. Be back to take my call.
Thanks, we appreciate that. Thanks for making it.
What are you, exit 9 off the Bell Parkway? Is that where you're at?
I'm waiting for an oil change at Subaru on Cropsey.
I got Cropsey. I got you. Go ahead, man. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
So, of course, the Yankees have to steal my thunder, and because I wanted to talk about heel. But I also don't believe, like, anything they say. They lie through their teeth. For a team that preaches communication, they have the worst. In any event, I was going to say, because bullpen is going to be such a premium at the deadline, would it be smart to put heel in the bullpen and then go after starting pitching at the deadline? Because, you know, last year we saw what happened with San Diego. They traded the top end of their farm system to get relievers that walked. So, since there's going to be, we need a flamethrower. We need a guy that throws swing and miss stuff out of the bullpen.
100%.
And I also think just, they're going to put an innings limit on him anyway. Yeah. Why not work him back
in? I'm going to tell you why, Josh. And it's a good thought, and thanks for making the call. We appreciate the kind words. Thank you very much, buddy. Here's why I would not do that with Luis Gil specifically. Somebody else I might. He's already navigated this injury the entire, like, he's been on a five-month injury rehab.
Right.
Now, if you're a relief pitcher, and as Josh describes it, and I get it, like, he throws 98, 90, he's got filthy stuff. You're not looking to use him like on a Monday and then on a Thursday. It's going to be, hey, you might pitch Tuesday and Wednesday and then an off day and maybe go and get two batters on Friday. And I think that they would view that as cavalier and too risky for his physical being, not that his stuff wouldn't translate, which I know it would translate.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Josh, and the kind words. I agree with building a fire bullpen. That's what wins in the postseason. We talk about all the other stuff. You need a bunch of arms coming out of the pen one after another to get you through those tough lineups in the playoffs and get you through the end of the games. I'm not, though, taking from one area of need to try to replace another one and mess with Heal coming back from injury. He's still a young starter in this league. No, he's a starting pitcher. Leave him alone as a starter. Develop him. Bring him back as a starting pitcher and hope that you could pencil him in every 5 days in the regular season and then again in number two spot or number three spot in the postseason and go get relievers. Now, do you need to get high-end guys? I don't know. The Yankees have had a knack for finding guys on the cheap. So was Stearns, by the way. Finding guys that are on the cheap and maybe making the most of them. I do think that the Mets would benefit from having one more high-end arm. The Yankees, I don't know if they need that because they still hold out hope that Weaver could be that in addition to Devin Williams. Like, the Yankees have two shots at it right now where if they get Weaver right, he could be a high-leverage guy. Williams is a high-leverage guy. I don't know if they need one more. So, and even if they do, is it really giving up that much?
No. But I think what happens here is because the way Loaiziga has looked so
he's
far
been
this
terrible.
Year.
Terrible.
Well, he's been awful, but he was a big part of their plans here. Yeah, so now you got to modify things.
Well, Cruz as well, him going down there.
He's been hurt. He'll be back, you know, and he's got nasty stuff. He throws hard. He, you know, sometimes a little erratic with the zone, at least certainly before he came here. His command's not always great, but he's absolutely filthy. He's the kind of guy, you know, he can put himself in a bases loaded, no out jam and wiggle himself off the hook because he's filthy.
Yeah.
But they need multiple arms. I mean, listen, if the Yankees offense was cranking out, even though you don't do this against great pitching in October, if I had a little more faith in their offense to be consistently dominant and bludgeon teams the rest of the regular season, maybe I'd be a little more willing to roll the dice or be creative in the postseason. But they need it for the regular season, too.
Yeah, I know. That's why I think they just need arms. I think the Mets need a big arm in that bullpen. Rich is calling, but I would not move Luis Gil. We agree with that. And the Yankees aren't going to do that.
No way they're doing that.
Talking Yanks.
Nope.
Rich is in East Haven, Connecticut. What's up, Rich?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Fine.
Good. How are
What's
you?
Up, Richie? Hey,
you're mentioning Suarez from Arizona, but also from Arizona. I think Zach Gallen is a free agent at the end of the year, and I'm not sure about Merrill Kelly. Maybe they'd want to move him, too.
For the Yankees or for the Mets?
I think either one, right?
For the Yankees. For the Yankees.
You know, I don't know, BT, and thanks for the call, Rich.
I like them both.
Yeah, me too, but I'm saying I have other areas of need if I'm the Yankees outside of the starting rotation at this point. Like, would any team want an extra arm? Sure. I don't think that's where I'd be spending my resources if I'm the Yankees. Third base, definitively 100%. Bullpen, definitively 100%. I'd rather invest my resources in those two areas if I'm the Yankees, even if it means getting a higher-end bullpen arm, although I don't think that's a major need for them. But even if it means getting a higher bullpen arm and giving up more, I want third base, bullpen, if I had two issues for the Yanks. Starting pitcher, depth would be third on that list.
I would take a pitcher, but I think I agree with you. You got to just look at, you know, maximizing whomever you bring in. And if you get a third baseman, he's playing every day, probably batting, depending upon who it is, batting five, batting six, somewhere in the meat of the order, right? Brought to you by Borzen. So that's one aspect. If you get a starter, and I like Merrill Kelly, and I like Zach Gallen, yeah. Those are potential options. I mean,
Gallen, I think he's had a down year, though.
But he's had some success.
I like him, too.
I'm looking at Merrill Kelly right now. He's because I like Merrill Kelly better. Let's see. Yeah, his contract is up after this year. He's making $7 million, dude. I mean, he's only making, was he in Japan or Taiwan? He was somewhere overseas. He came here late at the age of 30, carved out a good career. So he is free. So the caller was right, at least on Merrill Kelly. I don't know about Zach Gallen's contract status.
Gallen's got a 5 ERA. He's 7-9 this year with a 5 ERA.
What about his contract status? You have that if you go down? Are you on Baseball Reference?
No, he's a free agent.
Thank you, Hop. Yeah. All right. So the caller was spot on with both of those guys. The 5 ERA scares me a bit. Whatever. The Diamondbacks ballpark is a little interesting with the roof closed. Who knows how that factors in? It could be different in the Bronx or in Queens. But the point is,
yeah, I like both those guys for the record, but I don't think the Yankees need them.
Well, that's why if I'm giving up what it's going to, you know, what I'm going to have to give up to get a difference maker, don't you want that difference maker playing every day? Like, why am I giving up, not that you give up Spencer Jones for Zach Gallen, but like Spencer Jones, I'm just throwing names out, or whomever they, else they value for a pitcher who might make two starts in the postseason.
Yeah,
no, or you, one if you, you don't play well.
The bullpen and third base and bullpen are it have to be the priority for the Yanks. I'm just looking at it from a Diamondbacks perspective.
Yeah.
They are 45-46 right now, 4.5 back of the final wild card spot. Are we sure that they're going to be sellers? Like,
no, we're not sure.
No,
not sure.
And I guess at some point you got to decide. Hey, you know what? Even Atlanta, who continues to, you know, people say, "Oh, the Braves." They've now lost four in a row again. So I told you the Braves are dead a while
That's
ago.
That's amazing. They're really dead. Thought they'd get it right.
They're now back to 11 games under 500. Anyway, like, who's going to be sellers? I guess that's the point of the conversation here. How do we know definitively who's going to be sellers? In the National League, the Rockies are god-awful. The Nationals, the Pirates, and the Braves are by far the teams with the worst records, throwing the Marlins, who are 7 games under. That's only 5 teams right there. The next step up is Arizona, who's 1 game under 500 and 4.5 games back. In the American League, you have, let's see, the Twins.
Maybe the Rangers, the A's, the White Sox, the Guardians, maybe the Twins, to your point, the Orioles, and potentially the Red Sox.
I mean, you're talking about...
But that's like 13 teams we just mentioned.
Yeah, if they decide to do that. And
you got to entice them.
Well, if I'm the Royals, put yourself...
Or the Royals, I didn't mention them.
But put yourself in Kansas City shoes, or even the Rangers. Put yourself in the Rangers shoes.
Yeah.
You just won a World Series a couple years ago. You got DeGrom. You know you got the horses in the postseason. Don't you think you're 4.5 games back? Maybe they're like, hey, you know what? If we add the right piece, we can make a run and make the playoffs. And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Who knows once you get in the playoffs in the American League?
Yep.
If I'm Texas, I'm thinking about going for it. I'm not thinking about selling. If I'm Kansas City, I want to try to make the playoffs if I could. Now, they have to properly evaluate their teams, and that's going to be up to them, obviously. Boy, the Guardians have fallen off.
Is it 10 straight? Did they win last night? You know, they lost like 9 or 10 in a row.
They won last night.
Oh, they did win.
But they have fallen off the face here. And I told you the Guardians aren't that good, man. Any team in the AL Central outside of the Tigers, worthless, and probably going to be the only team to make the postseason in the American League this year, in the American League Central, the Tigers. You get the Mariners, who are finally playing well. Yeah, the AL shaping up, you know, oddly here with Toronto doing what they're doing here, BT.
Yep.
Yeah. That throws everything into a little bit of a you know, tizzy here with the Blue Jays taking ownership of the American League East. You got Detroit, the premier team in the American League Central, and then you get at least two teams, maybe three, getting in the mix in the AL West. I still think ultimately it's going to be the Yanks will win the AL East, and you're going to get a second team from the AL East and probably two teams from the West and just the Tigers in the Central.
Can you give me a reason why the Yankees or the Mets shouldn't give up whatever is required? And I mean whatever is required to bring in Jose Ramirez.
Yeah, I mean, are they going
to
sell him?
We have the conversation. I don't know, but you got to at least try to entice him to do so. He's got 3 years to go on his contract.
We know the Yankees love him. I mean, Boone was fawning about him.
He's phenomenal.
Oh, God.
I think he's a borderline Hall of Famer. I think he's great.
Stinks in the postseason. I mean, he did nothing against the Yankees in the postseason last
year. Yeah, but neither did Witt. I mean, in the one series.
Agreed. That's why I don't like him.
Come on. Give him a little runway, dude. At least with Witt, he's played once.
Hoff, what would you say there?
I just said neither does Judge.
He's not wrong.
You're going to leave that one?
You don't think I was thinking that as I was defending Ramirez? No, but like somebody like Jose Ramirez. Now, keep in mind here, guys, he signed a team-friendly deal for some reason. He likes being in Cleveland. He's making like $21, $22, $23 million the next 3 years. He runs. He fields. He's got pop. He might not be playoff proven,
right,
but he's got playoff experience. Can you imagine plucking him in at third base for the Yankees or third base for the Mets in between either Judge, Belly, however you want to do it, or Lindor, Soto, and himself? What?
Yeah, no, he'd be perfect.
How do you give up anything
if he's available
for him?
Yeah, maybe
you make them make him available.
Maybe he is. I mean, maybe not.
Make it happen.
If you're them, why would you do that?
He's not going to win.
I know, but still, you fold up shop if you do that. He's the fan favorite player.
They're not going to watch that dump team in August when they're 15 under and they got a minus 107 run differential. They're going to be 9,000 people there on a Tuesday night.
Who do you think? Because I'm looking at this now. I was just doing the math. I did it wrong. So it's not going to be. Obviously, there are six teams that get in each spot.
Get the standings up here. Go ahead. Okay.
So let's say division winner Yanks, just for argument's sake. Say or if you want to go, Blue Jays.
I think Toronto's right going to win until the Yankees make big moves. Toronto,
I still think the Yanks will, but we'll go by division leaders right now.
Yep.
Blue Jays, Tigers, Astros.
Correct, 100%. Yeah, except 100% for the Toronto, but yeah.
Okay.
I'm with you on the others.
And then you're getting three other teams in there.
The Yankees, Rays, Seattle.
And Boston. What I'm saying. Yeah, Boston making a comeback now. Or just whatever, if you want to argue that the Rangers, like we said before. But you're going to get you're going to get one of those. A third. Dude, the playoffs are expanded so much, it's ridiculous. Look at that.
Even a team like the Angels who are on the periphery, they're 3-4 out. Rangers. See, the Rangers need offense, not pitching. That's their problem. They don't hit. I do think my delineation is Kansas City, and to me, that's a Hail Mary. Anything below like the Twins a shot.
All right, so
I think Twins start selling.
Texas in there for
I'm going to keep Texas in there for a little bit, yeah.
Anything below them. And then what about the National League real quick?
National League, my line would be anything past the Cardinals. I know the Reds with 3.5 here, but I don't think they're good enough.
It's still over 500.
I know.
Diamondbacks a game under 4.5 back. I would go anything below the Diamondbacks right now or definitively.
I mean, maybe I could show the Reds a little bit more respect. Yeah. I just don't think that they're better than the Mets or the Brewers or the Giants or the Padres. Or I mean, they're close to the Cardinals, but even if they're close or better than the Cardinals, they're still not good enough because there's at that point still four teams better than them.
BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls when we come back, 888-808-1019. Speaking too much about the teams that we love, the Mets and Yanks, of course, 888-808-1019. The news of the day comes from Aaron Boone talking to the Talkin' Yanks podcast, saying he's going to move, finally, Jazz to second base, which, I mean, is just a brilliant idea. I wonder how many guys it took to graduate from Harvard or Dartmouth, all those Ivy League schools, or Columbia, to come up with the idea. Who gave Boone the metrics and data and analytics to be able to come up with the idea to move Jazz Chisholm to second base? But finally, however they got there, they got there.
Let's not be mean, buddy. Come on.
I love Booney, but jeez. Come on, long enough here. Anyway, that's the news of the day. The Yankees putting their best second baseman at second base. Think about how ridiculous that sounds.
Finally. It's ridiculous. It's been ridiculous. Yeah, I do.
Like, I'm not trying to pick on him. You know we love Booney.
Love him.
And rooting for the Yankee. You were rooting for the Yankees.
You're rooting for us, too?
Well, I mean, to a certain extent. No, we were joking around. We were saying that before the Mets series. Yeah, come on, man. Get back on track.
Yeah,
let's go with the Yankees.
And I was saying the same thing for the Mets, because I want to hold on to the Subway Series notion. That's something I always want. I think it would be amazing. I think for this show, for the station, it would be absolutely off the charts, insane. But if the Yankees don't do anything, they're not going to get there.
You know, real quick on that, and maybe it's not going to be real quick. It'll get into another conversation, but we'll get to the calls here. 888-808-1019. I was talking with Evan last week when you were out, and he was back by the office, whatever. And he was talking about the idea of that after the lockout or whatever is going to happen after next season.
Yeah, I remember I told you it's going to be a
right.
mess.
Thinking about, let's hope it's mess. Not, but thinking about the potential realignment after that.
Yeah.
Which I think we can use. I'm always old school and I like the old school divisions and keep the Mets and Yankees separated. I do think we're getting closer to having Mets and Yanks in the same division. Think about what that would do to change the way we evaluate baseball on a daily basis. Both those teams battling multiple times a year and battling for division supremacy every single year. That might freshen the sport up a little bit and make it more juicy in this town. Maybe that's what we need, but that can be, I think it's realistic.
Uh-huh. And would you want it?
At this point, yes.
You want it because you got an owner who's going to spend some money.
Well, I mean, finally, yeah, that's right.
You know,
yeah,
guys finally bring something to the table.
We can finally compete. But wouldn't that be something? I don't know how else.
You know, we get it in hockey with all three locals.
Yeah.
We get it in the NBA. Not that there's much of a Knicks-Nets rivalry, but when those, you know, a couple of years, whatever, it's even not even really a couple, but, you know, when they're good, they bury us, like with Jay Kidd, and when we're good, we bury them. But at least there's the proximity. We don't get it with the Jets and the Giants. I would be all for it for baseball. I would love it. Now, would it be a four-team configuration, a five-team, and who would the other teams be?
Yeah, that's
now,
a good question.
Now, how do you differentiate between Toronto? You got to keep Boston. First of all, let me put it this way. Yeah. Even though the Red Sox-Yankee rivalry is, for me, emotionally gets dissipated to a point where
they
just doesn't even remotely feel the same. You got to have them. So if it was
Phillies.
That's where I'm going. If it was from a Yankee perspective, I know the Mets fan would have a different one, which I respect. But from my perspective, I would, if it meant that the Red Sox went elsewhere to bring the Mets in, not interested. It would have to be Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, Phillies. And if you stay with four, that's perfect.
No, let's go five, probably.
Toronto, you got to have something north, obviously. Not that I love it, but you got to have something north.
I mean, selfishly, I would want Atlanta, but they don't fit the map.
Would you really want Atlanta, though, when you think about it, buddy?
Think about how freaking loaded that division would be.
Yeah, I know. Right. I know.
Because here's exactly why I want Atlanta. Because now they're about to start to go on the you-know-what, and the Mets are on the rise, and now they're going to get separated in the division. Now, again, we don't know that this is going to happen, but it is, I do think, legit on the table. Going to be on the table. Wouldn't that be fitting that finally the Mets would maybe be on the come up here, whether they win however many divisions or not? Steve Cohen and the resources, like, they should be a main player within their own division, and now the Braves will be out of the picture. Now the Mets will have to battle with the Yankees every year to win divisions?
Well, just because the Braves were out of the picture this year, and it looks like they might remain out of the picture, which I thought they would make a little run here, but maybe they won't. I mean, they're still a hell of a franchise, and they got still really good players. It's not like they're going to back up shop.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
Don't worry, we'll beat them for you. But, we usually beat them in the World Series. We'll take care of them if we have to.
I would assume they're going to do it based on region, right?
100%.
And you think that they would keep the same thing, three divisions, five teams, or would you go, I guess it would be four divisions, four teams?
I think they'll probably keep it three different divisions, I think. Now, just think about it from a geographical perspective, like I get it with the Braves, I hear what you're saying, but to satisfy the Southern demo, you're going to have the Marlins.
So it will be south.
The Braves, probably the Nationals, who are south of us, obviously,
down in D.C.
The Rays.
Orioles.
That's your four. And probably Baltimore.
So you clean that up nicely right there.
That would work out pretty well.
And by the way, you could also have more teams and fewer divisions. Like you could do, I don't know, seven, let's say. We got to do the exact math.
I don't think they would do that, though. I think that they like having, because then wouldn't that implicate or alter the wild card situation?
Yeah, if you're keeping that the same. All right, so we just cleaned it up there where we have one East and one South, and you can make the Mets, Phillies, Yankees, Red Sox,
Toronto.
And you'd have to pick, I guess.
You got it. Toronto's going to be floating out of space.
Okay, right.
You can't have Toronto with, like, the Montana Mountains and the South Dakota Space Invaders.
Couldn't you put them with the Tigers?
No.
Because you got to put the Royals and Cardinals
Michigan
together.
Oh, hold on. I shot that down fast. Truth of the matter is,
How about Cleveland in the East?
Well, now if you look at the map and you look at where Michigan is and the Great Lakes in relation to the southern part of Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the, maybe I put the kibosh on the Tigers quickly, but I kind of like the Blue Jays
See?
Not rivalry. It's not really a rivalry, but I kind of like that.
Yeah.
What, real fast, what year were you born?
You don't get just sports talk here, by the way, on BT and South. We do geography as well.
I love geography. Yeah. What year were you born? 79?
Yeah.
All right. I just want to point out to everybody that is just hearing what could happen, what we think might happen, what we think should happen. I just went back very quickly, punched up the year that Sal was born.
Yeah.
The 19th, how much has this changed?
Oh, God.
The American, this used to be the AL East, guys. Orioles, I'm just reading an order of wins. Orioles, Brewers, Red Sox, Yankees, Tigers, Cleveland, Toronto.
Yeah.
The American League West, yeah, the Angels, Royals, Rangers, Twins, White Sox, Mariners, A's, and I'll go to the NL East. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The Pirates, the Expos, the Cardinals, the Phillies, the Cubbies, the Mets.
Yeah, I used to like the NL East.
I did too.
I mean, that's going back way,
but that's what we knew first. Of course we liked it.
Yeah, but a lot fewer teams. Like, for me, it was a little bit more teams, I think, involved by the 80s when I started getting into it. But yeah, that's why I always say I hate the Cardinals more than any team in baseball, you know, outside of the Met-Yankee rivalry. Grew up hating the Cardinals more because of the 80s battles.
Oh, my God, sure. But you were too young to really remember 84. I know you know what happened, but like 84... First, Keith's traded there in 83.
Yeah.
Then 84, like the Cardinals are better, but the Mets are coming.
85, 86, 87. 87, like that.
Tommy, hurry up.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
You don't like 88 with the Dodgers, do you, buddy? That, you know what? Revisit 88.
D-Rod is calling from Orlando, Florida. What's up, D-Rod?
Hey, fellas. What's up? How's it going?
How are you?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm still alive, so I'm happy.
God bless.
Hey, listen, thank you, sir. Likewise to you. I never understood real quick, like you were talking about the leagues. Why did the Astros and the Brewers switch leagues? I never understood.
Don't know the answer to that. I think it was a Bud Selig thing. I honestly don't know the answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mystery. Real quick, who's pitching for the Yankees tonight? What's his name?
Schlitt.
No, that's tomorrow. Isn't it tomorrow? Schlittler is tomorrow.
Schlittler.
Is that the right name? I don't want to.
I think it is.
Okay.
That's what I'm mentioning. You got to leave that to the professionals because that's.
But you just make sure you throw the L in there.
Tonight is Warren.
I mean, Warren tonight, Schlittler tomorrow.
And then Stroman rounds out the three.
Right. Well, and the shame of it is that when I heard about Clark Schmidt, with his injury, I said, well, that's going to be one heck of a Schmidt stain on the Yankee season.
Well, D-Rod, stand by the dump button there, Joe. D-Rod's playing with fire. What do you want to say about Dominguez there?
I got to give you a chuckle.
All right. Take it easy. I don't understand, like, some fans, like, they're sort of like helicopter mom fans, where they're like, well, we got to put Dominguez in center field because that's his natural habitat and all this. And it's like, he's not a lion in the Bronx Zoo. He's a prospect. You know, you don't have to free him from anything. He's, you know, and in the history of baseball, you'll see prospects when they come up most of the time, not all, but they'll come up and they'll play where the team needs him. And, you know, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. You know, and on top of that, he's the third best defensive center fielder on the team, you know? And then, so what does that mean to Bellinger and Grisham if you put, you know, Dominguez, a rookie, over them? I mean, you're pretty much, I mean, that's not saying, much about those guys. You know, you're kind of putting them down a little bit.
But hold on a sec. D-Rod, hold on one sec. I mean, you got to look at a couple of things here. Number one, yeah, and right now he is the third. He actually might be the fourth best defender center fielder because even though Judge wasn't great out there, Judge might be better. I mean, really might be. Jeez. Yeah. I mean, actually, Jazz played some outfield. Jazz might be better at this point. He played a little center field with the Marlins. But you do it not because you're desperate, but you do it because you understand that if you could do it properly, you can juggle two things where you could obviously address the now. And let's face it. I mean, Bellinger's got an opt-out. Grisham's deal is up $5 million after this year. I mean, are they getting extensions? In all likelihood, not. You got to have a center fielder. Jason Dominguez played mostly center. I'm looking at his minor league stats right now. And his first 1, 2, 3 years, all he played was center field. And then when he came up in 20, when he hit all the home runs, he played a little bit of left field. And then when he went back to the minors and with injuries, rehab, he started to play left field again in addition to center. So he was exclusively a center fielder from the ages of 18 through basically 20 and a half.
But wouldn't that make you think that they, as an organization, don't believe he could play center? Like, you don't just take a center fielder and if you think he can play center, you don't take him out of center and move him to left field.
Yeah.
Especially when you need a center fielder. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, he had the arm issue, and it's easier to make the throws from left field than from center field.
Okay.
I'm sure that was part of the rationale.
All right.
But you're not moving Ken Griffey Jr. to left field when he's 21 years old, is what you're saying.
My point is that, I mean, dude, we joke about the Yankees and whatever, or even other teams, but just to specific to this conversation with the Yankees, you think they really believe that Dominguez would be better in center field? Like, I have to believe that there's a reason why they moved him in left, and it's because they don't think he can play center adequately enough. And knowing baseball, take the Yankees out of it, there's no way a guy that plays left field the way that Dominguez plays left field, in my mind, would be sufficient in center field, the more premium position. That's just me using, like, baseball 101 and giving the Yankees the benefit of the doubt, even though sometimes they might not deserve it. In this particular case, I have to believe that they don't believe Dominguez will fly in center field.
But I don't know what they believe, but they believed in enough of him to have him play center field in the minors when he was their number one prospect. Now, yeah, kids come up and they ship him. Mattingly came up. He was playing left field when Donnie first came up, obviously. Yeah. So I don't really know because they haven't really spoken much about it. And actions speak louder than words, but Grisham is not a good center fielder. He's an elite defensive one, so that's easier to justify. And, you know, the one thing we got to be fair to Dominguez, it was a bit of a train wreck against the Mets here, and it was a mess in February and March down in Tampa.
Right, it hasn't been that bad.
It's been very quiet. And to me, when you're quiet, that now you're not making flashy plays, but you're not putting yourself on the highlight reel for the wrong reason.
But don't you think the Yankees' better lineup would be Grisham in center, Belly in left, Judge in right, Dominguez in there as DH? Now, I know nobody loves that because, oh, Big G. But think about what you get defensively in the outfield. You're on lockdown. You had a real third baseman. Your infield now is on lockdown.
Yeah.
Even with some issues with Volpe, he's not.
No, I got you. He's better than this.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
he'll
for
level
sure.
out a little bit. Now you got a plus defender at second, plus defender at first, and depending on what third baseman you get,
yep.
Like that is a solid fielding team.
And Wells has pretty good throwing skills as well.
You're solid defensively, and now you have Dominguez bad as DH. All right, so you're losing out on
Stanton.
Rice and Stanton. Well, I mean, it's their fault that those guys can't field.
I would say, listen, the way you run through that, I agree with you. I would have to know, I'd have to see Dominguez in center, which they're not going to do anytime soon. They're not going to start experimenting again at this stage of the season, I don't think. And he's not going to be better than Grisham. Like, even if he is good out there and serviceable and solid and not an issue, he's not going to be Trent Grisham. But the argument for me, partially what you present, but also, well, if you do have Grisham in, if you have Dominguez in center and he's just a slight drop off and he's not a butcher,
then
you got Belly and you got Judge and you've got Stanton and Rice as the DH. The offense is stronger, but if there's an appreciable, not just a marginal, an appreciable drop in center field, it's not worth it.
BT and Sal on the Fan, a little bold-faced truth, bold-faced lie when we come back.
Now time for bold-faced lie, bold-faced truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Bold-faced truth, bold-faced lie, we turn it over to intern Nick, who is in for Hoff. What do you have for us today, intern Nick?
All right, guys, talking baseball all morning so far. Keep it baseball for the first one. We'll start with BT. Bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie. The Yankees will trade either Spencer Jones or George Lombard at the deadline.
That's a bald-faced lie. I don't think they're not. There's no way in hell they're trading Lombard. That's not happening. And I think that they view Jones as a piece next year. Because I don't think Grisham's on the team. I'll put it this way. I don't think that both Grisham and Bellinger are back on the team. So I'm going to say bald-faced lie. Lombard's the jewel of the system. He ain't moving. I'm saying no on Jones. Bald-faced lie.
I'm going to say it's a bald-faced truth. See ya, Spencer Jones. Bye-bye. The Yankees know he's not good enough. They built him back up a little bit here. Maybe his value is returning somewhat. You're going to have to give to get. The Yankees are going to be aggressive at this trade deadline. While I agree with you with Lombard, I mean, I don't know what Lombard's going to be, but we know the Yankees prospect hoard, and all these guys that they think could turn out to studs, they usually don't turn out to studs, but Lombard's going to be the next, just like Dominguez and just like Gary Sanchez and Volpe and on and on and on. Spencer Jones, though, I think they will trade because you're going to have to give up something to get something, so bald-faced truth, they will trade Spencer Jones. All right, what else you have for us, intern Nick?
Could I follow up first with something
Go
for
ahead.
BT?
Yep.
Calling bald-faced lie. If Cleveland calls and says, we'll give you J-Ram, just keeping it basic.
That's J-Ram a great follow-up.
J-Ram for Spencer Jones.
Yeah, and I'm happy you bring that up. Now, by the way, I'm answering this from their position. USB, bold-faced lie, bold-faced truth. Well, the Yankees.
Right.
Bold-faced lie, bold-faced truth. Will BT trade Spencer Jones for Ramirez? Yeah. You bet your ass.
Well, what if they
I'm
want
still not giving up Lombard.
Well, yeah, what if they want Lombard for Ramirez?
Spencer Jones,
come on.
That's a stuff.
You wouldn't trade for Corbin Burns. Now you can't get anything for
him. Well, this out will be Spencer Jones plus, two other top tens.
Understood. I mean, but, or whatever, all right, but let's say the Guardians say, we really don't want to deal Ramirez, but we like Lombard.
I can't give up Lombard.
For Ramirez?
I can't. I wish you. Ramirez too old. He's 31, 32 years old. I can't. Lombard's 19.
He'd be winning a championship.
Lombard's 19, man. Right, he'd win a championship with this starting staff and this bullpen. You better do a lot of other stuff.
He said this years ago with Volpe and a year ago with Jones. Oh, man. See ya. Lombard, let you go. Go get Ramirez in here. All right. That was a good follow-up. What do you got for us, intern Nick?
Intern right. Nick with the instincts. Yeah, huh, boy.
Right. Hoff who?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, go with you, Sal, on this one. Yeah. Switch it up to basketball. Obviously, Mike Brown's talking today for the first time as Nick head coach. Bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie. Mike Brown, in his Knicks tenure, will finish with more playoff wins than Tom Thibodeau had in his tenure with the Knicks.
Love it. Bald-faced lie. Absolute bald-faced lie. Mike Brown has not accomplished squat as far as it goes, as winning a championship and all that stuff. I don't want to hear it that he's a great postseason coach, a great head coach. Mike Brown has not gotten out of the first round since 2012. So am I supposed to believe, A, that he's going to be better than Tibbs was in the postseason, and B, be given the wiggle room or the runway to accomplish that? I do not. So I'm going to say that's a bold-faced lie. No Ooh. Way Brown has more postseason wins than Tibbs.
That's a tricky move, that thing that you inserted at the end there, because now I kind of lose the ability to smack back there, because when you say the length matters here, and because he better win the championship within the first 2 years and at least get to the finals in year one or whatever it is, we know it's a short rope is what I'm saying. He might not have the amount of time to actually accrue those wins. So that's a good job by you. However, my answer is still bald-faced truth. You know why? Because he's a better coach than Tom Thibodeau. Nobody wants to admit it. I mean, let's not let some of the facts get in the way. More, like, better career winning percentage. I know he had LeBron. I get that. Better career with him. Better career postseason winning him. Like, the numbers are the numbers. And, yeah, it's been a little bit of a minute because he's been an assistant. But I also value the resuscitation of and this applies to Tibbs as well, moribund franchises. It's not my fault that the Sacramento Kings are a bunch of idiots. Everybody's like, well, he got fired by the Kings. Yeah, but I think he was like 13 and 16 when he got fired this year. But look what he did the previous 2 years. What he did with them was equivalent or actually slightly better than what Tom Thibodeau did when he first came here and resurrected the Knicks. I am not saying it's an A-plus
hour.
How is
it better than what Tibbs did with the
Knicks? Because he had more wins.
Oh, but come on, look what
Tibbs did. He won 48 games to the Sacramento Kings. They were the Knicks when he got there.
The Knicks
were a circus.
You could not be worse than the Knicks were prior to Tom Thibodeau's arrival, and he built them into a consistent, sustained winner.
Well, but I'm saying, but Brown didn't get the chance to do that because he was fired middle of year three. And by the way, to be fair to Tom, he might not have gotten to, but he's not getting to the Western Conference Finals like Tom did in the East. I get that, but I lean on COVID, and I'm sorry, and I like Tom Thibodeau, but when half the league was either whatever, floating around in space and not taking their job very seriously, Tom's greatest strength is getting a team to band together and play hard, and the Knicks won a lot because the rest of the league was indifferent to competing. So I respect Tom Thibodeau. Mike Brown's a lot better than a lot of people think. Bull-faced truth, he will be better than him.
Final one, Nick, what do you have?
Last one, BT. Yes. We'll go football for this one.
A little diversity here with him.
Yeah, mixing it up,
Nikki.
Garrett Wilson will have more receiving yards than Malik Nabers this season.
Garrett Wilson will have more receiving yards than Malik Nabers will this season. That is a bald-faced lie. Malik Nabers is phenomenal. And so is Garrett Wilson, by the way. But there's just something about Malik Nabers that strikes me as a little different. Now, the other aspect of this, too, different than Garrett, whether he's a little bigger, a little more wiggle, whatever, I'll let somebody else figure that out. He just looks different. When I watch him play, he looks different. Looks like a tougher matchup. And the Jets are going to run the football a lot more, I think, than the Giants will this year, which is obviously going to cut into Garrett Wilson's chances. Garrett Wilson's a really good player. I hope he stays. I believe they'll pay him. I believe Nabers gets more receptions and more touchdowns, all that stuff. Bald-faced truth.
Yeah, bald-faced lie, it would be.
I'm sorry.
Right?
However you framed it, I think Nabers has the better season.
For you, it would be a bald-faced lie.
Thank you. Good catch. Bald-faced lie.
I'm going to say bald-faced lie as well. And I think the biggest thing you touched on, these teams are built differently. The Giants are going to run through Malik Nabers. Their offense is going to go through Malik Nabers. They're going to force feed him the ball. They have a veteran quarterback. I would be stunned if he stays healthy that he doesn't have a monster year. Like, Nabers is going to have a big-time offensive season. I don't think the Giants are going to be particularly good. Even more so, the numbers for Nabers to pile up. You're down in these games. You're throwing a catch-up. Giants should be able to pass the football, and I think Nabers is going to have monster numbers because of that. Whereas, Garrett Wilson, even though pound for pound, you could say maybe he's on par with Neighbors. I don't think that he is, but at least he's close. They're not going to be throwing the football like that. A, their quarterback can't do it. B, their head coach wants to run the football, which is the right thing to do. So Wilson's numbers are going to be compromised. I still think good, but they'll be compromised. And you're talking about comparing him to Neighbors, who has the potential to be one of the more elite offensive, you know, offensive weapons in the league and put up the biggest numbers for a wide receiver.
You know, I love Malik Neighbors. Yeah. You know, now we disagree with the concept of drafting a wide receiver, but I love the player. And I did going into the draft as well. I mean, we're a week and a half, whatever, two weeks away from camp starting. I've said this before. I think the Jets are going to look to run the football 32, 33, 34 times this year. As you pointed out, that's Glenn's MO. That's what Fields does. I think you get maybe 20, 22, 23 conventionally from running backs, and then you get the other 7, 8, 9, 10 from Justin Fields, who's going to run wild, or at least try to.
Good job, intern Nick. That was a nice variety of questions right there. All right, we'll get back on topic here, down with the king topic of the day when we come back. BT and Sal on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God.
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani,
walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.